All right, straight up at noon on a Tuesday. There's George. I'm Gary. It's the Gary Sharp Show with all of you. 951-1620. Matt Foster from KTV. Going to make his debut at the bottom of the hour. Yes?
I love Joy Taylor. I think she's fantastic.
I'd like to tell people who Joy Taylor is for a lot of people that probably don't know who she is.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Cowherd's...
Well, you can say Jason Taylor's sister.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, since we're talking about the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Oh, we are. Yeah, there you go. That's a good one. She's fantastic. She does a great job.
Would you like a moment?
No.
Would you like to get into the discussion of how many unreturned texts does it take before you realize as a guy that she's not interested?
Yep.
Not the 62 that Jared Porter...
Unreal.
Sent to the reporter. And now Jared Porter, who 37 days ago was hired as the general manager of the New York Mets, is out. So Terry writes into the Equitable Bank inbox about Jared Porter. Again, the Mets, now the Mets, we've talked a lot about dysfunction, whether in the college game or the professional game. The Mets have fixed their dysfunction. They hired a brand new owner. Now, this stuff, probably when you're interviewing, I don't think you bring this up. It's your, the dream job in your profession is to go from what Jared Porter was doing with the Cubs in player personnel, in the front office, to getting a general manager's job. Heck, he got, you know, one of the first things he did, he was part of the Lindor deal to get him to New York. But I don't think you bring this up in your interview, right? Unless it's out there. I mean, the Cubs didn't know about it. And it wasn't until just recently that the victim came forward and she told her story through an interpreter to the ESPN reporters, one of them being Jeff Passan. And then they wrote the story, and they wrote it in delicate terms with the desires of the victim. Because, you know, the relationship in, and I'll speak from baseball because, you know, the Twins had a couple of females that covered them in my time with the Twins. Is there is the scary part of the power dynamic. Because as a reporter, you are trying to build up sources and you're trying to keep it professional. And sometimes that source doesn't want to keep it professional, and they step over the line. And I think it's, you know, I read through the entire story last night when it hit my phone on alert. I'm like, whoa, because I know of this guy because of his time with the Cubs. Is the gross part is he was telling this reporter about a trade the Cubs were going to make so that he could continue this discussion via text. It's that weird power dynamic that makes it uncomfortable. Women in baseball, it's not easy to stay. But the women that are in media and baseball, and there are more of them, and thankfully so, and there are more of them in the front offices of major league teams. You put up a lot, and there's no one in their right mind that should have to put up with what this guy did with 62 unanswered text messages, and then you decide, yeah, it's time to show off my junk.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
So Terry says, why would you have a pic of someone else's junk? So that's part of the discussion, is it's not really him. Yeah. Maybe thinking, if, you know, have you ever watched Porky's?
No.
Probably that's a little bit older for you.
Mm-hmm.
There's, it's kind of graphic. There's a scene in Porky's that some people will get. Of identifying a tallywhacker. That maybe you don't want to get caught. You can make a case, but still, it's not that.
Oh.
Why would you send it to a female versus your own? He claims the pic he sent is not his. Does that make it okay?
Mm-mm. No.
He's apparently got good Google skills. Tennessee's probably happy that the Porter story blew up today.
Oh, okay. I know what scene you're talking about. Okay, I'm familiar with the scene. Yeah, yep.
Just the scene or the movie?
Just the scene.
Oh, okay. May I ask why you were interested in that particular scene?
There was
you don't need to respond.
Oh, okay. No, I had a good one too. I remember this one. All right.
Chad, who is all in on the Packers this week. Steve Largent's quarterback. He had Dave Craig. He had Jim Zorn. We were talking, if you're just joining the conversation, the Hall of Fame committee is meeting today. So the class of 21 is going to be announced, and it will be headlined by Peyton Manning and Charles Woodson. Those are no-brainers. I think Calvin Johnson as well, but Calvin Johnson could go into the Hall of Fame as a wide receiver and not have the luxury of a Hall of Fame quarterback throwing him the football or playing with Hall of Fame teammates. When Steve Largent was in Seattle, and Chris says, how good a Steve Largent is a comp for Megatron? You know, Jim Zorn, Dave Craig were his quarterbacks, but he still had, which is, you know, Seattle has had two Hall of Famers that stopped by for a cup of coffee that it was very awkward to see them in Seahawk uniforms. Franco Harris played one season with Seattle and technically was a Steve Largent teammate in 84. Jerry Rice, who was not a teammate of Steve Largent, played 1 year in Seattle. Heck, John Randall, the great defensive lineman for the Vikings, who is in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, he played a couple years in Seattle. But Steve Largent, while he was there, he played. Kenny Easley is in the Hall of Fame, who was a safety. So he at least played with, played technically with one guy that was in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I mean, I don't remember much about Franco Harris's career in Seattle, but I think Megatron should be in. Shouldn't be much of a discussion at all. I'm sure that if you are a gambling person, and if you are, let me just give you a tip. FanDuel Sportsbook, just download the app. You got same game parlays. You got the big McGregor fight coming up this weekend. The NBA is back. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and use my promo code Gary162. Last night was one of the Hall of Fame bad beats. Ooh. In the Baylor-Kansas game. I know locals don't want to hear this because, Creighton has hopes of playing in the Final Four. I don't think Creighton. I get the sense that Creighton is more of a 4 and 5 seed right now. Don't have any top 20 wins in the, tournament metrics. Mm-hmm. They have Providence tomorrow night. They'll make an announcement probably closer to game time on the status of Marcus Zagorowski. Then they got UConn on the weekend. But in this time of college basketball, where we're just trying to get to the finish line, okay? Come Hell or High Water. Isn't that Tom Hanks' new movie, the Western that is out, Come Hell or High Water? Or is that somebody else's movie?
I think you're right.
Okay, so that's how I'm describing getting to the finish line in college basketball. Just get us to the NCAA tournament, which is a must. If they don't play the NCAA tournament, college athletics is going to look entirely different, and it will not be pretty. So they are playing the NCAA tournament no matter what. You can say we're hopeful that we'll finish the college basketball season. You can be the mouth at Baylor for the women's basketball program that shut your face, that all they're doing it is for money. You're still getting paid the same amount of money, aren't you? Kim
Mulkey. She's she's like one of my favorite people in the world.
George, she's wrong on this.
She is wrong. I'm with you there. She's wrong on this.
Okay.
I'm with you there. I have a picture with her.
Well, that's great. I interviewed her because her son played with LSU and she came to the College World Series.
Yeah, I should have went through you.
She looks different on the sidelines compared to in the stands.
Yeah, you know how
in
long
the middle of the summer.
You know how long it took me to track her down that year? I should have just went through you. Unreal. Sorry.
She was very kind. But in this case, she came out, ironically, after a loss and said the only reason that they are doing this is because of money.
Yeah.
She's one of the highest paid women's coaches out there. Yes, they are doing it because of money. People need money. We got to get to the finish line.
Absolutely.
It's not easy. But hopeful that the season will end, they're going to do everything to make sure that this season goes right. And as I watched a high-level game last night between Kansas and Baylor, and Kansas has some issues, okay? I don't know what they want to do offensively. I can't imagine at this point in the year that David McCormick is the guy that they want their offense to go through. KU has a major offensive dilemma. They can't guard anybody. Last night they ran up against Baylor, who, just like Gonzaga, tried to run it right down the throats of KU. KU probably should shift the focus this year, should be to win in the conference tournament or whatever semblance of the conference tournament that you have in the Big 12. But as I watch Baylor play, and you know I have a love for Gonzaga, I was the first person that said Gonzaga would win the national title.
Yep.
I haven't been able to find many people that will join me on that bandwagon. I would like to just fast forward to April 5th, and we didn't get him in the non-con because of COVID. Can we just have Gonzaga and Baylor play? Gonzaga and Baylor together in a tier, and then you maybe skip a tier, and then there's the Villanovas, the Iowas. I would throw Michigan in there as well, that are in that next tier. Baylor is really, really good. Baylor and Gonzaga, April 5th. Let's just fast forward to that. But yesterday, I listened to Kim Mulkey Robertson, or she dropped Robertson, right?
Yeah, she dropped Robertson.
Okay, she divorced.
I think so.
She got married twice, got divorced.
Yeah, I think she's divorced.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know what that has to do with the discussion, but I just want to get her name right. Tom Izzo spoke out as well. Tom Izzo and Michigan State are really on some shaky status right now. Michigan State hasn't played for a while. You got to go back, I think it's the 8th of January, the last time Michigan State played. And Tom Izzo yesterday, hoping that his team will play here shortly. I mean, you probably get a sense of some frustration at Nebraska that they have not played in a while. And Nebraska's pause could extend into February. And at that point, you know, when do you say enough is enough? Not intimating you pull the plug on the season. The teams, and they're on the women's side, that are saying our season is over is because they have been impacted severely by COVID and they've got injuries. And so it's a struggle from day to day practicing and then the games to have enough bodies to make it competitive. So you say, you know what, we're good, we're not playing. Tom Izzo, he got it right. He knows that they are determined to play college basketball this year to the finish. Get us to April 5th. Get us to Indiana. Who knows what conference tournaments will look like? Maybe the Big Ten goes from Chicago to Indianapolis because you can have parents come watch games or more family members come watch games, which, hey, NSAA, that's not a bad idea for 1 year in this weird year. If you have the opportunity to have more family members be able to watch you and you don't have local restrictions, hey, not a bad idea. 1 year. Big Ten is exploring that. But Indianapolis may be overwhelmed because that would be the weekend or the week before the NCAA men's basketball tournament begins, that it will take over the entire state of Indiana. But Tom Izzo, is Tom Izzo the Greg Popovich of college basketball? Greg Popovich is not afraid to speak on basketball and how it relates to everyday life. Or, forget about basketball, I'm going to speak as Greg Popovich, an Air Force vet. Tom Izzo is not afraid to go there. Now, he doesn't necessarily go there separately.
Mm-hmm.
He usually goes there with a tie-in to his sport or his school or his program. But he's frustrated, and I get this from other coaches that I talk to, and in the fall when I would, friends of mine that are athletic directors at schools that have, you know, play in it to win at college football, they were frustrated because they thought that the country would be in a better spot dealing with the pandemic than they were as they tried to navigate this season. I think Tom Izzo, like I'm starting to hear other college basketball coaches, are frustrated on where this country is because they thought the country would be in a better spot, that they would not have their programs and their players in this situation. But don't you also see, and maybe it's because of the makeup of your roster, maybe mirrors America more. Basketball coaches in college are more willing to talk about social issues or life issues than college football coaches are.
Absolutely.
Am I off on this?
No, you're not.
We've had a lot of things that have happened away from the playing field. Social issues, a pandemic. College football coaches were, man, they were tiptoeing through the tulips. Not all of them, but you don't get as many. And Izzo's comments yesterday were not about a rant. I think it was Tom Izzo as a citizen of East Lansing, Michigan, in a basketball coach with a pandemic going on where you have dealt with the virus as well. But college basketball coaches, and we saw the great line from Mac back in December about the message that his players were wearing on their uniform. Wasn't no hesitation to go there and to talk as Greg McDermott, citizen of Omaha, Nebraska, and basketball coach at Creighton, that's supporting my players. How can we see it more in college basketball than college football? Now, I said the roster of college basketball maybe mirrors America a little bit more, but college football rosters are not lily white. They also are kind of a snapshot of this country. But why are college basketball coaches more willing to step outside of their sport than college football coaches are? Is that because there's more unity in basketball? That if, oh, more, whoa, okay. If Mac is talking about the message of equality that our players wear and they believe and we talk about, nobody's going to use that against us. Where maybe in football, and football had messages in the end zone, on the field, on the uniform, on the back of the helmet. The college football coaches are maybe more hesitant to speak out because it might be used against them. As I listened to Izzo yesterday, that just dawned on me how college basketball coaches, and it seems like now we're in daily, and I know it's their season is going on, you hear a lot more college coaches talking about the experience, their frustrations of what life is like for all of us right now. I mean, his frustration is the same frustration that you and I have, that all of our listeners have, that our coworkers, our family has. All right, Matt Foster from KATV in this hour. He'll make his debut. Think you've been nervous?
Well, he didn't seem nervous. But there's a chance.
Man, when you have hair like that. Now, we share with the morning show, Andy Kendi and Matt Lothrop, and Andy is away today. You know why Matt Lothrop's not doing it. Not because he was on with the guys in the morning.
Oh, is he mourning?
No, he was a Bills fan.
Oh.
So he don't want the smoke.
Oh.
He don't want to talk to a fellow Chiefs fan. That's why a lot of I noticed it's been silent today. It's Tuesday. A lot of the emailers and callers and tweeters that are Bills fans, they don't want none of that Chiefs stuff.
Mm-mm. I mean, I wouldn't.
Man, I can't believe you guys tapped out and it's only Tuesday.
Right.
Hell, Mahomes might not play. I mean, Chad Henne might get a hangnail, and that might force Andy Reid to have a one-arm quarterback plan.
Oh, man.
It's a build-up, George. Wait till Friday.
Oh, can't wait.
We're back with more of the Gary Sharp Show after this.